B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Uh-oh. I walk in this morning, and I look at my man Trey. And Bobby, what's he got on?
He's got on his golf attire
today. He's got on his pastels today. He going golfing.
Oh, yeah.
Good for you.
Absolutely.
Get it in, man.
Why not?
Get it in.
It's beautiful weather.
Oh, that's man.
Crisp.
Yeah.
Smacked in the face today when you walked outside.
Yeah. It's always those first couple of days in September during football season that it hits me, and I'm just like, really football season. And I love it. And you got your summer attire on. What's the high today? Do we even know the high today?
73.
73?
Beautiful weather.
What time are you going out?
As soon as I get off.
Yeah, I think 11 a.m. it's going to be 69. So you should be good.
Beautiful, perfect weather.
Perfect golf weather. Yes. Perfect anything weather.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we have a meeting after the show. It's supposed to last about 90 minutes.
Oh, I'm good.
No,
we met yesterday, so I'm good.
We're good for the week.
Yeah.
Here's what
and it started off with story time. I want you guys to know that, you know, I sat through the first 5 minutes of the meeting with story time.
It was, and I think I participated.
I did. I gotta say, MVP award goes to me. I was like, guys, we're gonna lose Trey here.
I'm like, all right, so really, this is how we're gonna start?
I saw Trey reach for his bag. And I'm like, oh! And Jamie said something. I was like, thank God, Jamie's here.
Yeah, get to it. Let's get to it.
Jamie's a hero.
You know what today is, though?
What's that?
Today is the day we find out from Adam Schefter the latest in the Jalen Ramsey rumors. He said, oh, I'm going to be a Jaguar and I'm going to play as much as I can and as hard as I can while I'm down here. That's whatever. So Adam Schefter, the man in the know, will let us know if there is really any eyebrow raising that should happen in Philadelphia. And I've been thinking about this because here's what I've noticed about Adam Schefter, having now talked to him every Wednesday for the last year or so. When there's a scent out there,
mm-hmm.
and Shefty's got his nose to the ground, right? And he's following that scent. There's a... you enjoyed that mental picture, didn't you, Bob? When there's that scent and he's following
that aroma is in the air.
Yeah, man. He smells that. He opens the door a little bit
for us.
It's
a different scent, though. It's a different aroma.
It's a different musk in the feeling.
It's a different musk in the air.
But he lets us in a little. And then other times, you know what he does? There's two ways he goes about this. One way is what I just described, where he lets us in a little bit, and we can tell that there's something substantial there, and he's working the phone lines and getting the text messages and all that stuff. And then there's the other way, which is, well, Howie's always wheeling and dealing. And it's like, oh, damn it, we're not getting anything. So which will it be at 8 o'clock when we talk to Adam Schefter today? When it comes to the curious case of Jalen Ramsey, which will it be?
Because it's gone on for a little bit now, a few days, it'll be the sniffing one. Howie. It'll be a mixture of both. Howie's always wheeling and dealing, so the Eagles will be in the mix.
Oh, look, Bob, you're not helping.
Well,
helping my excitement.
I think when Schefter is more quiet is when he has it exclusively. I think when everybody's following something, that's when we get, well, you know, yeah, Howie's always going to wheel and deal. So maybe we'll get to read into Schefter a little bit today. You know, we might not get the answer we want, like he specifically is coming or he isn't.
Right.
But maybe we'll get a hint.
I'm looking for.
Yeah.
That's why I said, because look, I understand the, you know, the journalist game that you people play, Bob.
Well, that's why I giggled when you said nose to the ground, sniffing a scent, because, yeah, my nose is still raw from doing that for 12, 15, 20 years.
No, because, you know, Trey, we may not be competitors, mm-hmm. like you were a competitor, of course, and are still a competitor, because I've seen you on the golf course.
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to work on it.
The thing is, when that story starts to leak a little bit and somebody puts out a little feeler, if you will, right? Somebody kind of maybe shows their cards a little bit, maybe not holding them too close to the vest. That's when another reporter might jump on and go, oh, wait, if Schefter is hinting that he has something, there's got to be something. And then they start digging and they might get to the source. They might get to that buried treasure before you do. Because that's part of the game, right, Bob?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. There's nothing worse than sitting on a story waiting for one more verification before you run with it, with the knowledge knowing somebody else might get it.
Yeah, so it got me thinking about on the Eagles right now, if they are going to make a move for Jalen Ramsey, a corner that they absolutely need, and if they want to upgrade their defense, especially with missing all the help that they were counting on the defensive line, the guy they have to go after is Jalen Ramsey. So it got me thinking about, if it's not going to be picks and it's going to be players, who on this team, or a combination of both, who on this team is expendable? And we talked about it with Jadeveon Clowney, that a guy like Nelson Agholor is obviously expendable. Do you want to move on from one of your tight ends, God forbid?
Well, that name popped up yesterday, the backup tight end, and I was like, ooh.
Not a good look right now because he's hurt.
Yeah, that hit me in the side a little bit. I don't know if I want to go away from him.
One of your other corners as well, would you be willing to move on? Because they still might need a corner for depth if you do move on and make a trade. So on this team, who would... Now, here's the deal. You can't just say this is somebody that I want to drive to the airport. This person has to have value. It has to hurt a little bit. It has to sting a little bit. It's not like, well, we hate these guys, so give them to the Jaguars, which I'm glad this day and age...
Matt Pryor. Straight up.
Jordan Mailata, great ambassador. This day and age, Jamie, I feel like with all the information people have, those trades have kind of gone away.
Yeah, like, luckily they have.
I used to remember, like, growing up listening to people talking about how, well, if you just give them Coy Detmer, I swear to you, you will get
trade
John
Dana
Elway.
Barrows for Scottie Pippen.
Done. That kind of thing. It's like, no, that's not how it works. So I want to look at the people that you see on this football team as expendable. Now, granted, it's for a pretty high reward here. It's not like you're
you
just
give something to get something.
It's not like you're just dumping something off here and, like, you know, emptying the salary and all that stuff. No, you got to give up something that stings a little bit, hurts a little bit, in order to get something in return at the price of Jalen Ramsey. Now, most commonly it's going to be picks more than anything. But if you do got to throw that player in, if it's not a sweetener but someone really to get to the level of making the Jaguars say yes, absolutely, we'll make this deal, then by all means, who is that guy?
Would you go?
Oh, my bad. My man.
Would you go first round of Nate Sutfeld?
If they really want a quarterback, yeah. I mean,
oh,
sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like, I'm of the school that if it's only going to cost, like, seriously, if it's only going to cost a first round pick, yeah, deuces. Because the Eagles, the first round pick is going to be what, 25th?
Yeah. What about 1-3 and a player? A stinging player.
1-3 and a stinging player? We will have
that
conversation.
Too much? You'll talk.
I'll talk. But here's the deal. I don't want to move on from Dallas Goedert. He's somebody that I don't want to move on from.
No.
Okay, so you're in the school of, absolutely. No, I'm not doing that.
1-3 and Nate Sudfeld? Thanks, Nate.
I mean, I don't necessarily want to move on from Goedert, but...
If you're getting Jalen Ramsey?
It's something I'd have to sleep on.
Yeah, it's not... And I did that last night.
I'd have to sleep on it.
Would you do Ertz?
I'd have to sleep on
that. No, I don't sleep on that. I say no, sorry. He's untouchable.
Really? Zach Ertz, untouchable.
Yeah, you know why?
You would keep Ertz over Dallas.
Yeah, because, well, yeah, the injury thing's bothering me with Goedert a little bit.
Yeah, it's not a good look. But if you're asking me right now who I'm going to keep for the future...
I mean, Zach Ertz's cap hit goes up to 13.7
million. Yeah.
And we talked about this a while ago. All together. We were like, getting rid of Zach Ertz. And people were like, what are you, nuts? I think Jamie was the first bringing it up. And I sat back and said, wait, that might not be a bad business decision.
No, it wouldn't.
It would not be.
And Dallas is a much better run blocker.
Yeah, he had no question about that.
And he also does that thing where he catches the ball and runs.
Yeah, he does that.
There's steps after the catch. No better example than the
Zach Ertz sucks.
He might run a 12-yard route instead of a 10. I don't know.
They win that game. Too soon. But this is what you have to think about when you're talking about trades. You have to think about moving on from people that you know can help you right now. And how much of a hit do you take when you lose Zach Ertz? And now you also have to factor in the fact that DeSean Jackson, one of your other marquee weapons, could be missing 2 more weeks. So when you talk about moving on from Ertz, or even Dallas Goedert, you're talking about moving on from guys that are even going to be more of a target for Carson Wentz in the next couple of weeks. If you do have guys like Alshon Jeffrey or DeSean Jackson missing more than just, I don't know, one game, and that being the Falcons game, they might miss 3 now. DeSean Jackson, notably, that you might be missing him for the next 2 weeks as well. So that's three games not having that deep threat that we all loved so much to talk about during the offseason and loved watching in week one.
Yeah.
So at what point do you say, all right, well, I can't hit my offense that bad right now for the sake of my defense, but your defense has already taken some major hits. You've already lost Malik Jackson. You've already lost now Tim Jernigan for 4 to 6 weeks. You've taken some major hits right now where you've already had to go to the scrap heap. And no offense to Akeem Spence, but it's not like he was a marquee guy that was sought after in the offseason. Yeah. No, he's a depth guy. So you're already scraping the barrel for guys to play on the interior defensive line. And right now, Derek Barnett and Brandon Graham haven't showed a lot of getting after the quarterback that we really hoped they would. Even when it comes to just pressure. Not even just sacks. So when you think about defense right now, and you think about bringing in a guy like Jalen Ramsey, yeah, that might have a huge impact on your team, especially the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and the offensive side, like you're saying, if you have to give it up. Yeah, but I'm with you. I'm still with you that I think it's something that you really should do. Have to. I don't know if I can go that far, but should. Yeah, you really should look into it deeply. The names that we threw out there, Trey, great point. Zach Ertz, that might be a guy that would shock many. And that might take Carson Wentz back a step if you get rid of his security blanket. I don't know. But I think those are the terms where you have to think right now.
That's the direction the Eagles, I'm sure, are kicking around right now. And we all know Howie the businessman has probably thought of this, and he has thought of this, I'm sure, many times over. But who on this team do you feel as an Eagles fan is expendable? Who would sting a little bit, but you would still move to get Jalen Ramsey here? And I feel like the person that would sting is Zach Ertz. I feel like Zach Ertz is the guy that people will look at and go, all right, now you think about the financial implications of this, it makes the most sense. You think about, 28, 29 years old?
What's the word you use? Sting?
Sting.
I think it's more than a sting.
You think Zach Ertz is more than a sting?
I think there would be borderline outrage from people.
I think that's a shark bite. It's not a bee sting. That's a shark bite.
Now, I want to say this. It's not that if you're giving up Zach Ertz, somebody right now that can help their team like that, I'm not also packaging a number one overall pick. Excuse me, a first round pick. So that's something that you would have to negotiate with here. But yeah, I think most people, when they look at it, they go Nelson Agholor.
I'm okay with that.
I think everyone would be like, yeah, I think people are maybe not this week in particular, yeah. But I think most people will look at it and go, well, yeah, he's a pretty talented wide receiver, and he was the first name brought up when it came to moves like Jadeveon Clowney's trade possibility. Oh, yeah, Nelson Agholor. But here's the thing. What I've noticed from these trades, and a lot of it has to do with the timing of them all, but it seems like the trades that actually do go down are never the trades that you go, oh, wow, I can't believe they spent that much. That type of thing. Like, even with the Steelers, for instance, they lose Ben Roethlisberger, so I was a little surprised they gave up a number one overall pick. I just think the Dolphins got the right team at the right time to make that trade.
Yeah.
So it all comes down to timing as well. But the Jaguars know they're going to have the Eagles against the wall. Like, they know they are going to have their number. They are going to have the leverage in the negotiations, because I think the Eagles realize that they need Jalen Ramsey more than the Jaguars really would need what?
Dallas Goedert,
right? Yeah.
I don't know. If you have a Ramsey that's out there that's causing disruption in the meeting rooms, that's kind of like, all right, hey, making business decisions over trying to win. I don't know.
But I don't think the Jaguars look, and you're right, that does go into effect. That does play into it. But I don't think the Jaguars look at it and go, oh, well, we got to get rid of him to this team because of that. I think they just look at it and go, well, yeah, we're going to make him, we're going to trade him. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of being the best suitor. And the Eagles aren't the only ones knocking on that door, as we well know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So we'll break that down with Adam Schefter as the show goes on today. Break it down with Adam Schefter at 8 o'clock today. The other thing is that Jason Stark gave us a little nugget yesterday. I was a little surprised by this, because Jason is not a guy to come on the radio and talk about who should get fired and all that stuff.
He, as a matter of fact, got uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But, talking about somebody's job that still has a job.
But, and he said that.
I noticed the nugget.
There's a nugget. And Nugget has a name. And that Nugget used to own a cigar company. And that Nugget's name is John Middleton. And John Middleton might be... Jay Middles might be meddling in the Phillies front office, even more so than we thought.
Does it look like stupid money to you?
And it comes down to a wonderful line in a wonderful, a very entertaining movie called Devil's Advocate. And if you remember that movie, there's a line in that movie where Al Pacino says, "Vanity, my favorite sin." And I can't hold it against John Middleton because a lot of successful people in this world, they're very vain. They believe in vanity and all that. I don't think John Middleton likes the amount of people that are not rooting for his ball club because of the manager. And you throw out the door for a second the job Gabe Kapler's done. It's just the public opinion. It is just the approval rating of the manager. And I don't think the face of ownership likes the amount of people that are anti-Phillies only because of Gabe Kapler. He is such a divisive figure in our city. I don't think the lead brass really appreciate how people look at their team because of how the manager is perceived in the public.
And there's going to be a ton of managers, former managers, to choose from after this year. They're talking, I was reading a national story yesterday, there could be 8 to 10 firings in baseball after this season.
Big pool.
And you're talking the likes of, and I think Jason brought it up yesterday, Joe Maddon.
Yes, he did.
I love Joe Maddon.
Joe Girardi's been the name brought up.
Girardi, yeah, he's been out there for a couple of years. I mean, Joe Maddon.
Joe Maddon from Hazelden?
I love him. I do. He's one of my favorite coaches, managers in all of sports. So there's going to be a lot to choose from. And you're right. When Jason brought that up.
A little local boy.
Yeah. And when Jason brought that up yesterday, you know, that is telltale because you're right. He's not a journalist that goes that route. But for him to say, well.
And I asked him. It wasn't like he just volunteered the information. Yeah.
Right. But he did go there. You know, he didn't have to, and he went there because that's how he feels, and maybe that's what he's hearing, that they're looking deeper into it. So it's going to be interesting. Yesterday took a turn. I was with you guys in that, yeah, Gabe's not going anywhere. Yesterday took a, well, maybe.
If it's not just up to Matt Klentak, then, yeah, I think, they move. Right, but do we like owners that meddle that much?
Good question.
Depends on the owner, right?
Well, yeah, for instance, okay, Jeffrey Lurie. Remember the story a couple of weeks back?
Breaking down
years
film
back?
With Trey.
Oh, that's no, that was Mrs. Lurie.
Oh, that was Christina
Lurie. Hey, I don't mind when Christina would meddle, okay? Christina's the one that got Dawkins those two contract extensions before they just let him go. Let's not forget that. No, I just made that up. But I'm just telling you right now that when you look at an owner that is meddling, usually people don't like that. Because remember the story with Jeffrey Lurie? He wanted Bradford to come back no matter what?
Yeah.
And then the following year, I believe it was when they finally moved on from him.
And he was very involved with going to visit Carson Wentz, going to the Senior Bowl, going to the Pro Day, all that stuff. So he did get his hands on a little bit there.
And Ed Snyder, as much as we all loved Ed Snyder, may he rest in peace. But did people criticize him when he just said, oh, no, you just go get Brizgalov? And after that, it was like, well, this is why owners shouldn't meddle. That happens a lot. That happens a lot in sports where the owner starts meddling and you should really just leave it up to the baseball people to make those baseball decisions or hockey decisions or baseball decisions, whatever it might be. So when you look at a guy like John Middleton, do you want him getting involved in the baseball operations? Because according to Jason Stark, and this was the biggest nugget that he gave us, as we've talked about and as was kind of implied through other sources, the reason you have Charlie Manuel on that bench is because of John Middleton.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a part of that was to offset the dislike of Gabe Kapler. You want to root against the Phillies? You want to be upset with the Phillies and all that? Yeah, dude, yeah, root against them now that Charlie's on the bench.
And you brought that up the first day they hired Charlie.
It was a great PR move.
Yeah, and it was, and still is. And if that's what Middleton's thinking was, okay, then maybe there is really, really something to this. Gabe Kapler's time might be limited.
Well, as someone, and I feel like I've said this almost every day now for the last 2 months, as someone who's been out on Gabe Kapler for a while, this is a little eyebrow raiser. The fact that Jason Stark's willing to acknowledge that the owner could be getting involved in decisions for the Phillies in terms of baseball operations. Mm-hmm. Not just, oh, what check do you want me to sign? Okay, done. No, that guy's got to go.
Yeah.
I don't like that guy in my dugout. And we'll get into that as the show goes on today because a lot of people, and I don't know how this was with you, Trey, but when I've talked to players, they just kind of stay in their own little bubble. And really, the only person that they talk to about anything is their immediate coach. Like, for instance, for you, it would be Juan Castillo,
yep.
Right? Does it ever get talked about, maybe amongst other players? Do you ever hear that stuff getting talked about when it comes to what's going on in the front office or what's going on in ownership?
No, players really don't get into that. You know, you just kind of just try to, like you say, stay in your own little bubble and take care of your own self. Once you start looking outside of that bubble, then you might be on the block.
Mm. All right, now, speaking of a more specific coach, we are going to swing it back to the Eagles today as well, because there's another subject that came out. And I don't know if this is gamesmanship. And I understand, and sometimes people will ask why we make so much of what people say in press conferences. And, well, I always tell them it's just a window into their way of thinking. But I do believe in gamesmanship. And, 2 years ago, you had Doug Peterson talk about the gamesmanship of not letting people know whether or not Carson Wentz was going to be ready to go by week one. Stories came out, he got upset, and he didn't play week one. Is Jim Schwartz giving us gamesmanship when he's talking about not going after the quarterback as much as we made it out to be? Because this is a guy that never blitzes, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we always say. There's no pressure. He never applies the pressure. He never sends the blitz. Linebacker's never going after the quarterback. He's only relying on his front four to apply that pressure. Well, yesterday, Jim Schwartz, after a game against the Falcons, where we all said, hey, Jim Schwartz, great game plan. Look how much you blitz. He was like, yeah, we didn't really blitz that much.
And did you notice how he brought up, yeah, well, it burned us on that one play.
Yep, exactly. I gave you what you asked for.
Yeah.
It worked a couple times when we executed properly.
I'm a genius, and I was right.
Everybody wants a blitz until you get beat over the top.
And there were a lot of blitzes in that game.
Thank you.
I went back and watched the game yesterday, had the coaches film, and there were quite a few blitzes.
Somebody said they counted 12 on Twitter yesterday. Somebody that also got
Fran
the coaches.
Duffy, the guy that works for the Eagles that does a lot of the video breakdowns.
Okay.
I think he had the number 12.
12? It's a good amount.
Yeah, that's a nice amount.
What did Schwartz, I know we'll get into it, but he said it just looked different. I don't know.
No,
come on.
Stop it.
Is he allergic to talking about blitzes?
I ran a lot of three-man games. They ran, they did bring a lot of guys up to the line and then they bailed out. You had some fire zone stuff, especially that one interception that Fletcher Cox dropped that everybody like, oh, he should have had that interception. That was a fire zone where the defensive lineman rushes up and drops back into coverage. You saw Bradham coming down a little bit. He rushed him a couple times, but there were more than usual blitzes in that game.
Yeah, a lot of no safety help. I mean, a lot of just man on man with a zero coverage, whatever.
Yeah,
it was different. I mean, he has to admit it was different.
Yeah, and there were a couple times like I remember we was like, oh, what was where Darby got beat a couple times where the safety kind of dropped down a little bit because there was some that he had a little, had some responsibility with one of the receivers coming down and then he was late getting back. So, you know, it was a little mixture of little different stuff that was going on.
So why say what he said yesterday? Well, we really didn't blitz that much.
Yeah,
like, that's the gamesmanship, right?
Yeah.
Is that just, I'm never going to show you my cards?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, why?
But who's he not showing cards to? He can say to the average fan, oh, I didn't blitz that much. Okay. The average fan's listening to us.
Uh-huh.
Trey, who gets the coach's tape, and says, yeah, they did blitz. To tweets that say, yeah, they blitzed 12 times, a lot more than they have before. Is Detroit going to look at him and say, oh, never mind, they didn't blitz all that much? Like, come on, what difference does it make?
I honestly don't know.
He is aware they have game footage of us, right?
Yeah. Maybe not.
Maybe he doesn't know how much he blitzed.
Like, maybe we can get all 22 coverage and we're fans.
Maybe Malcolm Jenkins called the blitzes. I don't know. Maybe he's just rogue out there. Maybe he just went rogue and went after the quarterback. Maybe Andrew Zendejo went in there and said, yeah, to hell with the deep ball. I'm going to go after Matt Ryan. We don't know. But we kind of know. They blitzed. They were aggressive and good for Jim Schwartz. But when trying to make sense of any of it, I'm just trying to look at Jim Schwartz from his angle and say, or from Jim Schwartz's angle and say, oh, well, maybe he doesn't want people thinking that he is going to start to be more aggressive because of the holes on the defensive line now. Like, in 2 weeks? Yeah, but it's like, there's another team. Is Matt Stafford looking at across the way and going, oh, well, I doubt they'll ever blitz me.
Like, their coach said so in a press conference.
Ridiculous.
So the quarterbacks go into the quarterback room and watch a press conference, or do they watch film?
I thought they watched film.
I don't know what the secret is. But, and now getting on the other side, good for him. Good for him to change things up the way he did, because he's playing to the talent, lack of talent because of injuries, that he's now presented with. And that's, to me, great coaching is adjusting to the talent you have, not staying with what you have when you don't have the players that can, you know, do what you want them to do.
All right. Now, the other thing that we got today, and this affects the NFC East, the quarterback change in the Meadowlands, quarterback change with the New York Giants. I'll tell you right now, Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer. I don't understand.
It's a lock of locks.
The debate.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
I will say this. I know when most people bring up Trent Dilfer, or you know, bring up quarterbacks that should be in the Hall of Fame only because they won a Super Bowl. Oh, Trent Dilfer in the Hall of Fame? No, like, Eli Manning is the guy I default to.
Yeah.
Like, he is the worst 2-time Super Bowl MVP I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
He is by far the worst, as we know. But I believe it would be, if he didn't make it in the Hall of Fame, I think it would be him and Jim Plunkett as the only 2-time Super Bowl champion quarterbacks that were not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And Jim Plunkett, I believe, was 72-72 looking at this stuff last night.
And Eli's 116-116. Yeah,
you were looking up Jim Plunkett's stats last night, huh?
I was looking up quarterbacks that have won 2 Super Bowls that weren't in the Hall of Fame.
Good on you.
And, okay, can I do show prep,
number
Bob?
16, Jim Plunkett.
There you go. Uh-huh. He beat the Eagles one year.
I wonder, there's only one quarterback in the Hall of Fame with a losing record.
Yeah, and amazingly, I got it off the top of my head this morning.
Broadway Joe.
Yeah, I won't kiss you. Yeah.
But I wonder if part of that, because John Mara does love Eli so much,
uh-huh.
I wonder if that went into his consideration. Because the timing of it did seem weird.
Well, what?
That he didn't want to have him as a losing record quarterback.
Because he's 116-116.
That's my conspiracy theory.
That's
so
interesting.
So Eli, do people go around and say Eli's a 500 quarterback as opposed to saying he's a losing quarterback?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, there's only one.
That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
And we all know Joe Namath should not be in the Hall of Fame, right?
No, he was bad.
Sure. All right, just making sure. No.
Like, wait, Joe?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, he's an icon of the league, but he wasn't very good.
This is just sideline speech. We'll put him right there.
Like, you get the feeling that it was once called the Hall of Greatness,
yeah.
And then Joe Namath got in and was like, well, to hell with that. They're just fame. Famous. Fame. Fame. And that's all Joe Namath. No, but he did a lot for the league, and the guaranteed did a lot for the league. We all know that, and he beat an icon himself. But we'll get into that as the show goes on today. But I know it's just something that people don't want to admit to themselves. But I think the bigger question isn't whether or not Eli Manning gets into the Hall of Fame. It's just that when Eli Manning gets into the Hall of Fame, which Eli face will be his bust? You know what I'm saying? Like, will it be open mouth? Will it be confused look Eli? Will it be crying face Eli? Which Eli bust face will be there in the Hall of Fame?
My wife was all, you know, we were talking about this yesterday, and she was like, he's done. She was like, you know, every time I watch him, I was like, y'all leave him alone. He had that face like he just looked like he shouldn't be out there.
Yeah, like, stop beating up my little brother.
Stop beating up on him. Leave him alone.
All right, we'll talk about all that. We got B-Hawk in Philly. We got open lines after that, 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll dive a little bit deeper into the Jim Schwartz comments from yesterday's press conference. Time of the Fanatic, 623.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Trey, real quick, what do you think of remakes? When they remake a movie?
It depends.
Or they remake a TV series.
Like Jumanji? Amazing remake.
With Kevin Hart?
With Kevin Hart and The Rock.
Really?
Was that a sequel or a prequel or a something else?
Well, I don't know. I just like the cast. I like, I mean, you know, whenever you see another.
Robin Williams is great in that, right?
Yeah, he was, but I kind of like Kevin Hart and The Rock. The Rock is hilarious.
He is pretty good.
Yeah, I thought, because my wife saw it and loved it, and she thought it was. See, I don't consider that a remake.
Okay, my bad.
But, no.
Don't take it all personally.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, you know. You asked me a question. I gave you an answer. I thought it was cool.
No, it is.
I thought it was solid.
And you're. I think you're the right.
You just crushed me right there.
No. But I'll say, like, for instance, that's like a continuation of the film.
Okay, all right, then. My bad. Well, give me an example then.
I mean, that's a remake, right?
Yeah, I think so. No, I thought so. Maybe
I would have thought so.
According to Mark, it doesn't.
Well, I'm just
saying. It doesn't count.
I mean, it's the same plot line, right?
Right. I guess so, yeah.
No, because...
Do they pick up, like, after Robin Williams?
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, the game evolved, I guess, to now it was an Atari game.
So they were aware of Robin Williams and that whole movie, and then they picked up from it?
I think so.
I don't know.
But what I'm saying, what I do know is
all
that...
All I know is the Jonas Brothers was in there.
I like me some Jonas Brothers.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah,
they're talented musicians.
Yeah, so one's married to Sansa Stark.
27 years old.
Yeah.
He just turned 27 yesterday.
You know, they got like.
Why do you know that?
My daughter told me.
No, the only reason I bring it up is, for instance, a remake, like the movie Jumanji, I think was aware of the Robin Williams version of Jumanji in the movie, and then the Kevin Hart rock version of it in Jack Black. They go into the game as opposed to the game coming out to them.
Okay, Jack Black was hilarious in that movie, though.
Was he? Okay,
yeah.
But like, I think that's like a continuation. But when I talk about remakes, I talk about like what they're talking about doing with Princess Bride right now.
What about A-Team?
The A-Team.
That was a remake?
King Kong.
Okay.
Definitely a remake.
All right, that's a remake.
King Kong, remake.
Okay, yes. King Kong, okay.
Yeah, right.
The Hulk, remake.
The Hulk was a remake.
Okay.
Definitely.
The Fly.
Fly.
That was a good one. Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum, The Fly, that was a remake?
That was like a 1930s movie that they remade in 1980-something. Yeah.
Okay.
Huh. Fly.
All right.
I didn't know it was a 1930s.
My movie knowledge is vast.
Those were remakes. Like, okay. Jumanji is like a continuation of the story, even though it has the same plot. But I understand what you're saying.
Right.
I'm not squashing anything. I'm just
differentiating. Don't ask for it.
I feel strong about it. I mean, don't ask me then.
Is Jumanji a remake? 610-632-0907. We'll settle this on the phone. Bring it up, because they might remake what has become an American classic for quite some time.
Yeah.
And this is something you don't mess with.
That's something they should probably leave
away. Frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a damn.
Not Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind. Oh, okay.
Wizard
of Oz be a remake?
Oh, they did do one with Whitney Houston.
That was Oz.
That was Oz.
Right.
That was. I would call that a different version of the original.
Yeah, that was different.
Yeah, it was a lot different. Okay. But the other thing is, would you consider the people that want to do remakes and all that stuff? Oh, let's go back and find that great feeling again, but with the new actors and everything. No, it's perfect the way it is.
Okay,
why mess with it? And that's what people are going to do right now with Princess Bride. We'll talk about that in a second here. B-Hawk's been holding. What's up, B-Hawk?
But the remake thing, you know what I mean? There's a couple of them. I think with you got to go with the times. Like, they remade the Child's Play, and I thought it was dope because they used technology with kids. The Child's Play remake was dope, but remakes, like, they talking about going Scarface and all that. You got to leave that alone.
Yeah, can't mess with Scarface.
You got to leave all that.
Superfly was a remake.
Superfly, it was actually not that bad. The remake wasn't that bad. It was pretty dope. But you know what I mean? On the other side, I know I bite my tongue sometimes, but it's funny y'all mentioned Zach Ertz. When I called in yesterday, I said, what is it going to take? The first thing I said in my mind was one, or Zach Ertz, or one, y'all might not like this, or Alshon Jeffries. But on the flip side of it, who affects who on the ball? We obviously know Jalen Ramsey, which he can do, but how many times we brought a Nnamdi, we brought a Asante Samuels, and on that side, it took away from their play, and it wasn't to our expectation. Whereas when we give up an Ertz, I want to dive into some analytics
Hold on a second.
You can put Asante in the same conversation as Nnamdi.
No, I'm just saying when we bring a name in, I mean, for an attitude, what I know, man, I want Ramsey. He's locked in. He's going to affect the whole side. But then if you give up an Ertz, you don't see what's going to bite us on the backside. But Ramsey is a starting block. You can build around the system. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I'm willing. If Jamie said he slept on it, I slept on it. Whatever. I'm willing to do that. You know what I mean? I know a lot of people are going to hate me for that. But take a Ertz. But giving up, what gives up analytical-wise on each side of the ball, what you willing to give up? I'm willing to give it up.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to give it up.
And when it comes to Ertz, I'm in the category of I'd give it up as well. And it would sting. It would absolutely sting. You'd feel that one. But here's the only thing that gives me pause is that I don't know what I got in Dallas Goedert right now injury-wise.
That's what it is. Yeah, but the talent is all there. We see the speed. We see everything. But that injury, we got to see something from. But here's the kicker. If Dallas Goedert was healthy – with this Jamie Ramsey talk, I think Howie would have flipped. I really honestly think say Dallas Goedert was healthy, would we have a deal done? If Adam would be calling today, would the deal be done? If those injuries wouldn't have happened.
Now, I don't think so. Just because of how this offense is set up, they only kept two tight ends. And so that really limits you when you're saying, all right, you only have Ertz in Dallas. Because now what you're going to put Big Dillard out there, you know he's not running a damn route. You know, and then what you get Vitae out there, you know he's not running a route. So, all right, so now you have, all right, hey, Yeah, Dallas is the only one that's out there. Or Ertz, and Ertz is not a good run blocker.
And they just put Alex Ellis, I believe it is, on the 53-man roster at tight end. And actually did pretty well in the preseason.
And the last thing, I know I don't want to hold you guys up, but the only thing that's going to sting, I don't want to see a Patriots. I don't want to see a Cowboys. If I see that, man, that's going to hurt. And we got 2 weeks basketball start, guys. Have a good day.
I know. You too, B-Hawk. Thanks for the call, brother. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's not that far away. Basketball's going to get underway. Hockey's already underway.
Baseball's still going.
Baseball, that's happening.
Yeah, they won, got to win last night.
Yeah.
We still got a chance, baby.
No, you don't.
Still got a chance. How many games are up?
Four. Cubs lost. Four, Trey. We gained a game last night.
Hey, baby. Hey.
You can't win all 11 on the road unless you win that first one, and that's what they did last night.
You got to get one.
There it is.
Now we got an 11-game winning streak.
You never know. You don't know.
They haven't won more than four in a row all season.
You never know.
Here it comes.
Why was Bryce Harper not playing?
Oh, he played last night.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't miss much.
I think I dozed off at some point. But yeah, okay.
Hoskins hit a homer last night. It's 29th season, so it was nice to see.
Like, I dozed off, and then I woke up. I'm like, oh, wow, we're up.
Yeah.
The power of the mustache.
But here's what I'm hoping.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh. Here's what I'm hoping happens when we talk to Adam Schefter at 8 o'clock. I'm hoping that when we throw Zach Ertz's name in there as a possible trade target or a trade chip, whatever it might be to get Jalen Ramsey, he goes, oh, no, too much. I'm hoping that's the reaction.
Yeah, me too.
It won't cost that much. Because it's not like I want to move on from Zach Ertz. It's just that I know that if you're going to move on and it's not going to be, they don't want to part ways with picks and how he doesn't like to do that, then, it's going to cost somebody that hurts. And Ertz hurts to move on from. 610, see what I did there? Coming up.
Is Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory, is that a remake?
That's a remake. What was the remake? Charlie
in the Chocolate Factory, I believe, was the original.
Uh-huh.
No, Willy Wonka was the original. Willy Wonka was the original.
Charlie with, Johnny Depp was the remake.
Right. That's a remake.
Okay, that's a remake.
Was that Tim Burton?
Yeah. Was it creepy? Yep, it was Tim Burton.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Was it an innocent childhood story gone awry? It was Tim Burton.
Yeah, on acid.
That's pretty much the theme. It was Edward Scissorhands plays Willy Wonka. That's what happened. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. All right, coming up, as promised, we'll let you hear from Jim Schwartz at the press conference yesterday. And believe it or not, we didn't even get to this yesterday, Trey. Doug Peterson knows what the problem has been in the first quarter. Did you know that?
I did not know.
Doug Peterson figured it out. Well, at least he knows what he needs.
I can't wait to hear.
It's not that specific, unfortunately, so I don't want to get your hopes up too much. Time of the Fanatic is 6:41.
Farset and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Now I'm getting suggestions on Twitter from people that want to see remakes made.
Okay.
One is Labyrinth with Lady Gaga.
What?
Might actually watch that. Labyrinth.
She's very talented.
So the voodoo. Yeah, voodoo. That movie?
No.
David Bowie?
No.
Is that David Bowie?
Yeah.
It's David Bowie.
Yeah.
And the, man, that hair. And a very young, that girl. What's her name? Jennifer Connelly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sup.
Yeah, got to watch. I watched that movie. Yeah, Jennifer. You know what's funny? Jennifer Connelly could play that character now and look younger than she did in like 1987 or whatever that movie came out. Also, another one. Same guy suggesting another movie. White Man Can't Jump. Make a remake of that. Call it Sydney and Billy Ho. Who they playing now? Michael B. Jordan. Ryan Reynolds. I might watch that.
Huh.
I would actually watch that.
That's a good casting.
It sounds like a buddy cop movie in the making, but whatever. I'll watch that movie.
Ryan Reynolds looks too much like an athlete, though. Like, that was the cool thing about Woody Harrelson. Like, he just looked like a... Nah.
But he could ball. Like, yeah, he played D3 ball or something.
Yeah, he could ball a little bit. He's an athlete, yeah. I appreciated that. Like, he was an athlete that played the part.
I mean, look, we could be elitists when it comes to watching people who aren't athletes try to play sports and like roll our eyes and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So when we watch movies and we see guys like that, it's like, please. And then when you see a guy that can actually get it done, like Trey, I can't even imagine how you feel about it. Jeez.
Oh yeah, when I watch a football movie, I'm like, well, all right.
How about his quarterback?
Yeah, exactly. Or how about The Rock as a quarterback? Although he played at Miami, right?
Yeah, but he played
D end, right?
Yeah, as a quarterback, that was kind of funny. let's see, Any Given Sunday, that was all right.
Yeah.
You know, until the dude lost his eye on the field, then it was kind of weird.
Oh, that's a very common injury nowadays.
Yeah, I guess so, you know, where your entire eye is just on the field.
Yeah, normal.
I thought Bill Bellamy and LL Cool J were very convincing in their roles.
Yeah. I don't know.
Willie Beeman. Yeah. Steaming Willie Beeman.
The Last Boy Scout.
That was a good movie.
When he rode the horse on the field and threw the ball up there to stop the ball. I don't know. It was just a lot going on.
Speaking of remakes, Star is Born, the Gaga, it was a remake.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's right.
For the third time, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
That's true. I did enjoy that one.
It was good.
But maybe it's because I never saw any of the other ones.
I didn't see the original. Yeah.
I haven't really seen that entire movie.
Like, I haven't seen it either. Did you cry, Mark, like Jamie?
I did not, no.
You can be honest.
No, but there was one part.
I didn't cry. I almost cried.
Nah,
I tough-talked Addy going in, like, well, you already know the outcome of the movie. Why would you cry? And then the scene happened, and I was like, don't look. All right. Choke it. Hold it back.
Are you talking about the scene at the end?
Yeah, the dog.
Who's cutting onions?
Yeah, no. No. By the way, everybody. Hold on. For those of you who haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Who hasn't seen the movie?
I'm just saying, the dog's okay. I don't want anyone to think. The dog's fine.
And that's Bradley Cooper's real dog.
Aw.
Yeah.
No, I would have cried.
Get you right in the feels.
No, but the other scene, that made me, like, as a guy. There's a scene in the movie where, like, nothing bad happens. It's just like, as a man with a brother, I'm like, all right.
Lump in your throat kind of thing.
All right, everything's fine. Everything's cool. Everything's fine. I'll just gonna go to the bathroom real quick. I'll be back. So we're talking about that.
Yeah, I don't know anything.
It's a good flick.
Oh, you tell a lot of tough talk from you, too.
Oh, no, I cried the drop of a dime in the movie. I cry all the time.
That's true. I'm sorry.
I'm an emotional person.
If you're looking at Netflix and chill, just throw that on.
What's that?
Star is Born.
Is it on Netflix right now?
I don't know. It's got to be close, right?
It's on demand. Approaching. 610-632-0975. Bringing that up because apparently there's talks right now about remaking Princess Bride, which is a phenomenal movie. And if you grew up on that movie like I did, there's no way you can make a remake of that. There's no way you can remake the magic that is that movie. Also, like I said, we're going to hear from Jim Schwartz coming up in a little bit. And Doug Peterson says he has found the plays that will help in the first quarter of games to get him started faster.
Did he lose them?
I guess.
So wait, he found them on a week where he has no idea who's playing, but he found them.
He said he has to find them.
Oh, okay.
So you know what that means.
They're missing.
So you know what that means.
What does that mean?
They all got in the basement somewhere.
Everything matters.
Hey, you got that good Steven strand? All right, let's fire it up, baby. Fire it up. Let's all get everybody get in here in the same little mindset. You know, let's Cheech and Chong this thing out, baby. Let's figure it out. Let's come together.
Shannon in Georgia, you're a 975 Fanatic. What's up, brother?
Hey, doing well. Good morning, guys.
All right.
It's been a while, but I had to call with all this Jalen Ramsey talk. I just think I think it's absurd. I mean, looking at this team 2 weeks in the season, and we've got Andrew Sandejo is the leader on sacks in this team. It's an absolute embarrassment. I don't have anything against Ramsey. I think he's a good corner. I don't think he's a top five corner. Like, people are calling this guy Dion or something now. I mean, he's good, but I don't think he has the impact that some other guys, some other corners in the league have.
Wait, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He went to
Both Florida State guys.
Oh, yeah.
I understand that.
Both Florida State guys.
I understand that.
But Darby is too, so you know.
Yeah, Darby is too, exactly. But, you know, I'd rather wait 2 weeks and see if I get, you know, Patrick Peterson for a fourth-round draft pick because he's not going to resign with Arizona next year. We all know that. I'd give Jacksonville actually more right now for Yannick Ngakoue than I would for Jalen Ramsey because I think he would have a bigger impact on this team, you know, right now. If Schwartz's defense relies on four men getting pass rush, you know, I'm not sure how much we can hold some of these receivers accountable if his defense isn't doing what it's designed to do, and that means getting to the quarterback with four men.
Yeah, okay, just regarding the Patrick Peterson comment, he's going to be 30 years old. I know he'll still have a year or two left in him and top-notch and all that stuff, but Jalen Ramsey's a guy that's going into his prime. Like, he's 24 years old. Like, he's a guy that I don't want to see one of those guys that seems like they are past due on their career. I want a guy that's going into the main, the pinnacle of his career, and that's Ramsey.
And I understand, but the best player in the league is 42 years old. Mm. I saw an Arizona game last year where Terrell Suggs, I think, is pushing 40, and still, and still looked very aggressive out there and was giving offensive linemen problems and would be the best defensive end on our team right now. And Terrell's almost 40 years old. So
yeah, but those aren't corners. Like,
I understand, but if you have more help. If we can get pressure on the quarterback, you will help our corners out. You cannot get pressure, on Matt Ryan and have any man on earth try to guard Julio Jones 1-on-1. Sorry, it's not, you're not going to be successful like that. You got to get the quarterback. That's more important than the corner right now.
But for you to get the pressure, you need to give time for the defensive line. I know everybody just says, hey, the defensive line should.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.